Hello, everyone. Happy Tuesday. Welcome, ladies of No BS. I am Coach Lizzie, and welcome to Lizzie After Dark. I'm just kidding, but I really enjoy saying that. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. So I think for now, like all of the calls that I start in the evening times, it's just going to be called Lizzie After Dark. That's what it is. So welcome. This is actually the nighttime meeting call. But if you are here and you can hear me and I'm not just, talking to myself after dark, please type into the chat and tell me where you are joining me from. And so that, I can know that I'm not just talking to myself, which would be fine. Nothing wrong with that, of course. Oh, good. We got Christy and Lori is here, Mercedes and Valerie. Yay! Fantastic. All right, Tina's coming from New Jersey. Yeah, Jersey in the house. Fantastic. All right, so welcome to the nighttime eating call. This is about nighttime eating, nighttime drinking, nighttime gummies, CBD, whatever. Like the things that we do at night to be like, I had a day. I just need to like settle it down. So this is a live. Oh my gosh, look at all of you all. Hello, we got Judy. Estelle is here. Hi, Kathy, Lee. This is fantastic. We got a fun group here. All right. So, this is a live coaching call. Please raise your hand if you'd like to be coached on anything nighttime eating related. That would be great. I don't know who iPhone is, but she says, I like Lizzie After Dark, but it's only 3 p.m. here in SoCal. Fair enough. I'll give you that. But since I go to bed at like, 6:47 p.m., it's like it doesn't really have to be dark. That's funny. It could be Wanda. I'm not sure. Yeah, in the summertime, when I go to bed before the sun is down, I'm like, oh, winning. I won the day. I beat the sun. Okay, got a couple of like brief topics to address, and then like I said, raise your hand if you'd like coaching. So earlier today, I was talking to a client who had been doing some consistent exercise, lifting some weights over the summer. And she was like, I don't know, I just stopped doing it. And I don't know. I was like, well, was there anything that interrupted your enjoyment of it, or what got in the way? She was like, no, I really enjoy when I exercise. I just oh, you know what happened? I went on a trip to visit my mother for a week to help my mother out with XYZ. And when I came back, I just didn't get back into exercising. And I'm kind of, this is my client talking, like kind of bummed that I, didn't get back into it. And I said, first of all, like, let's just acknowledge that that's really normal, that our habits are a lot like riding a bike. And what I mean is, when you ride a bike, the natural way of things, like gravity and all of its wonderful physicsness, is if you are riding a bike, but you don't pedal, you don't do anything, the natural law is that you will slow down and you will eventually fall over. That is not a character flaw. That is not your fault. That is just, it's gravity. It's what happens. The same thing works for our habits. So the natural way of things, natural law, is that life has this friction. And if you're listening to the replay and not watching the video, I'm doing this really fun hand thing that's like emulating friction. It's all good. Life has a way of having friction on the healthy habits we want to begin to implement in our lives. And that's normal. That's like natural law. It's like gravity. It's not a character flaw. It's not, you just can't be disciplined enough and what's wrong with you? It's like, no, it is normal. Life has a way of getting in the way of the healthy habits you want to imply or implement. And so, just like riding a bike, if you want to keep moving, you got to pedal. Not always. Like, you don't have to always be going full out. You don't always have to be, crushing it on the BMX from, 1983 when you're like, I'm going to beat Billy from down the street. You can sometimes coast, it's okay. But you do have to do some intentional inputs every now and then. And so, what I want you to think about with your habits, when life gets in the way, when life naturally brings its friction, because it will, and the holidays has its own unique brand of friction. Know that it's not a you thing, it's a life thing. But you do need to add in some intentional effort, pedaling, to keep going. So for my client with her exercise movement, I was like, what's the intentional effort this week? And she's like, 3 times a week, 30 minutes. I'm like, I love it. Great. And let's give you a range. Like, let's give you like a flexible goal. They're like, ideally, 3 times this week, 30 minutes, you're out there, you're crushing it. But just in case life doesn't, totally go the way you expect, in case life's at you and you have a day that, didn't go to plan, how can you still win on a day like that? I am laughing because Christy just put into the chat about the Delilah after dark. Thank you. This is now taken to a whole new level. I haven't listened to Delilah all that much, but I do know who you're talking about. So I think I need to drop my voice a couple octaves first. That would be fun. Okay. What was I talking about? I think habits and bicycles. Yeah. So, anyways, if you want to get back into your habits, you got to put in a little bit of effort, but just like give yourself a range to have imperfect days. So much fun. All right. I'm dying too. Thanks, Christy. That was so fun. All right. We have Mercedes has her hand up, and anybody else who would like to chat with me and coach with me, please raise your hand. I got a laugh out of it too, Christy. All good. No apologies needed. Fantastic. All right. Mercedes is coming up.
I think this might be working.
I think it might be working too. Hello.
Hello, it worked.
Yay, hi.
Hi, I was not expecting that to be so quick.
Me neither. I mean, it was, 5:15 a minute ago, and suddenly I'm like, oh dang, here we are. Gotta have a call. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm really well. I want to say before we get started, my internet connection keeps telling me that it's unstable.
Okay.
So if you lose me, you lose me. That's just how it's going to
Well, I
be.
always like to think that we've always got you. It just may not be exactly through this internet connection, but we'll be patient through it if that happens.
Okay, fair enough. Thanks. So I'm writing about, or writing, or calling about nighttime eating. I guess, I've been having a hard time with nighttime eating lately because of a stomach ulcer, and I've just sort of gotten that under control enough where I'm not nighttime eating. But I realize if I want it to heal, I'm going to have to avoid some foods. Just not forever, I don't think. We'll find out. But for a while. And sometimes that can work for me, and other times I just sort of spin out. So I was hoping that I could get some coaching on that.
Okay, great. So, you've got a health reason for adjusting, certainly. It sounds like what you eat at night, perhaps even how much you eat at night.
And the time as well. It's stomach ulcer. So it's
Okay.
better if you don't eat, 3 or more hours before you go to bed.
Okay, great. So, what are the challenges that are obstacles that get in the way of you implementing the like doctor's recommendations?
I'm not 100% sure. So far with this, it's been good, like with what I've been doing, but I'm only on day two. But I know in the past, like sometimes I think it's like I feel like I can't have certain things, so I start to over enjoy other things.
Okay.
And so I'm worried about that. And I'm also worried about starting to feel better and being like, oh, this is good enough, and not getting all the way through my healing.
Yeah.
So the two things.
So let's co-create this together because I certainly don't want to act like I know what's going on or I'm an expert in stomach ulcers. But my guess would be this is a little bit challenging in like it's different than perhaps an allergy, you know, that like this is my body, it's going to be this way probably forever. I need to get used to not eating XYZ. Whereas an ulcer, it feels more temporary. Am I understanding that right?
I anticipate that it will be more temporary. I know for
Okay.
some people, there are things they have to avoid forever, like they find that out eventually, but I'm just not going to worry about that for
Okay.
the next 6 months.
6 months. Okay. So we got, a reasonable chunk of time where, well, let me ask, are you approaching this with the mindset of for the next 6 months, I'm going to effectively operate as if this is my life now, or is it more, we'll see what happens?
I'm starting with 2 months,
Okay.
I think. And then I'll see how I feel after 2 months. If I'm feeling really good, I'll start reintroducing certain things a little bit at a time, see how it goes. If it goes poorly, I'll hold off again for a while.
Okay. So, my brain is going in a couple different directions. I'm going to kind of give you the buffet and you get to choose where you'd like us to pursue. So, there's the thoughts of like, are you feeling restricted from ABC foods? And we could talk about that. There's the thought of, how do I navigate this and best serve myself without overdoing it? And then there's perhaps even like what happens 2 months from now. Where would you like to take it?
I think I'd like to. I think I'd like to quickly tell you how I plan on navigating it. And
Okay.
then if you think that's insane or if it needs any sort of zhuzhing, we can do that. And then maybe move into the, if it seems legit, we can move into the like emotional eating restricted portion. Does that
That's
sound
great.
helpful?
Yeah,
Okay.
fire away.
Okay. So what I'm planning is for the next about 2 months-ish to obviously try to eat dinner earlier, try to be finished dinner by 6 p.m. so that I can go to bed with an empty stomach so that it can heal. And then the trigger foods that I was going to give up, I don't really drink that much. So I don't really feel like I'm giving up alcohol, but I am. But the trigger foods were apple cider vinegar, probably most vinegars. Chocolate, which is my good friend, spicy, which I also like, and then canned drinks and canned juice, which I don't care that much about,
Okay.
but just something to be mindful of. And so that's my plan for right now. And then just try to eat not too much fast food. I don't eat fast food very much, so try to eat mostly home food, that sort of thing. Does the plan sound reasonable?
I think so. Let me just say back to you in terms of like what your brain is sort of highlighting, it sounds like we're not having spicy food, which we like. We're not having chocolate, which is our friend. And we're not having apple cider vinegar. Okay. And
Which I
so,
eat every day for lunch, but I won't die without.
okay. So it's a routine, but not a favorite.
Yeah.
All right. So the main things that you perhaps might miss would be chocolate and spicy food. How hard would it be to eat and be done eating by six-ish?
That will be okay now. 2 weeks ago, it would have been impossible, but now I've sort of got my stomach symptoms under control. I was having a lot of stomach pain that would only go away with eating, and eating, like certain foods, like plantain chips were one, or applesauce. But now I've got that part under control. I haven't had pain like that in the evening for about a week now, so I'm feeling pretty good about that.
Okay. Spicy food makes sense to me, that I could see how that could exacerbate an ulcer. In terms of chocolate, is it sweets and sugar or chocolate specifically?
Chocolate specifically. Apparently, it's acidic and it's a big trigger.
Okay.
And I usually in the morning have oatmeal with chocolate protein powder in it. And I tried it with vanilla protein powder and I felt significantly better.
Okay.
And so I was like, well, sorry, chocolate. We've got to take
Had
it.
a good run.
Yeah, we did.
We might do the rerun. Okay, so you still have the sort of access to sugar if that's a thing for you, but it's just not chocolate itself. All right, so when we offer those ideas that, like, you're not going to super miss apple cider vinegar, there was something else at the beginning that you were like, oh, alcohol, not a big deal. Chocolate is your friend, but you could have different sweets that are not acidic. Spicy food. How are we doing with that?
I think spicy food will be okay, but if they're serving spicy food at Christmas, I'm just going to eat it. And I'm just not going to. That's part of why I'm giving myself 2 months. I'll just see what the consequences are
Okay.
and deal with it because
Okay.
it's
So I hear you saying between the next 2 months, so mid-December to mid-January, mid-January to mid-February, there's, for the most part, you're going to avoid spicy food with the exception of Christmas. Perhaps, I don't know if there's like Christmas Eve or New Year's, et cetera. But like,
Tuesdays, maybe three, where there might
yeah,
be.
if there's something that's a 10 out of 10 and you like your reasons, you'll deal with the consequences. But for the most part, you're going to limit it to more mild types of foods. And that's not too big of a sacrifice, or you're like, I don't know how I'm going to do it.
I'll be okay, but I'll be cranky about it. And I just know myself, I will be. And I think I'll be. Like if we go to restaurants, I'll be having a bit of a pity party.
Okay. So I'll be cranky and I'm having a bit of a pity party. Those are coming from your thoughts. So, what's the story you're telling yourself that leads to crankiness?
Well, usually. So usually with my coworkers, when I go somewhere where they have spicy food, it's Thai food. And I feel like everybody else gets to have it and I don't. That's the feeling that leads to crankiness.
You could totally choose to have spicy Thai food.
Oh, you're right, I could.
But what would be the outcome?
Probably that my stomach won't heal as quickly, or possibly never.
Ooh. So this is not a rule, it's a choice.
Yeah.
If you were to go to Thai with your colleagues, which also is a choice, you don't have to, but let's say you want to. And you walk in the door being like, I could choose to have this spicy thing that my brain says I want. And I might love it in the moment. And I'm also going to choose the outcome of unpleasantness later. How does that change the cranky feeling compared to they get to have it and I don't?
It'll be more like of a sort of a grown-up cranky, like going to work. You choose to go to work every day. But yeah, less of a pity party.
Yeah.
So I can't have it.
In the immortal words of Corinne Crabtree, it's like you can choose to sit in your dirty diaper, but you also know that like you can argue with reality, but reality tends to win. So you don't have
Yeah.
to like reality, but you don't have to argue with it either.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Okay. So there was is the crankiness and the pity party basically the same thing, or are they slightly different thoughts?
Think about this. I think they're levels. I think they're levels of the same thing.
Okay. So Corinne did a call recently, and I even saved it. So while we're talking, I'm going to see if I can find it. Where she was talking to somebody who wanted to get kind of lean and see their muscles, and Corinne was like, "Listen, if I wanted to, really get ripped and see my muscles, like I've got the muscles. It's just a matter of losing another 10 pounds, which would mean I would need to choose when I go out to choose the chicken and the salad and not the dessert and not have fries, and that's just a choice." And I'm looking for the call. I'm still looking and talking at the same time. I can do
I
this.
bookmarked that call. I liked it.
Right. I loved the way she talked about her choices, and she even talked about the idea of, I don't have a work mindset. Like if I want to get a raise, I'm going to do additional things and I'm going to sacrifice some time to get the raise. It's not a sacrifice. It's not a like boo, woe is me. It's like it's a choice. I'm choosing to do the things that get the raise. I just put the link to that replay in the call. It's like minutes 11 to 44. If anybody who's listening to this replay, I'll look up what the date was, but the way she talks about her choices is like it's not a restriction mindset. It's not fair. It's like if I want the muscles to show, here's the choices I would make. If I want the raise, here's the choices I would make. If I want my stomach to heal, here's the choices I make. And so how you talk to yourself in these 2 months about spicy food can really influence how you feel, whether you have a pity party mindset or empowered, I'm making choices mindset. What are your
Yes,
thoughts on that?
that's very true. And if I think about myself 2 weeks ago when I was still dealing with more pain and I hadn't reliably gotten things figured out, I remember thinking, like with a stomach ulcer, if your stomach gets too damaged over time, it can eventually lead to stomach cancer. And with overeating, diabetes runs in my family. My blood work is technically fine right now, but it's not where I would like it to be. Anyway, so 2 weeks ago, I'm overeating. I'm not even hungry, but I'm just in so much physical pain in my stomach. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm either going to end up with stomach cancer if I choose not to eat and just let like my innards digest themselves, or I'm going to end up with diabetes from eating to get away from the pain. And that was my thought. And I guess now my thought is I don't get to have spicy food and I'm cranky, which seems a lot less dire.
I can see how that seems less dire. I'd love to address the I don't get to have, because that's a choice.
Okay.
You
That's
could order it as soon as we stop talking, and it could be Uber Eats delivered to your house. So you
yes.
get to eat it if you want to. The question is, do you want to choose that and choose the consequences or the results of it? Or do you want to choose to endure a little bit of discomfort of wanting it and not having it? And also enjoy the outcomes of that, which is your stomach feels better tomorrow.
And obviously, like obviously I want my health long term. And so
Yes.
I think I
And that
need
can still be hard in the moment when you're, feeling emotional, when you're feeling stressed, when you're in pain. And so every single one of us can say, of course, I want to feel healthy. The logical thing is XYZ. But when we're in the moment, when we're feeling stressed, when we're tired, the logic brain, which is our prefrontal cortex, it is offline. And the lower brain is the one that's at the wheel, which is like safety first. I want to be feeling better ASAP. I don't care what I know to do. I don't care what my long-term goals are. I want now. So really smart women can make choices that don't serve their long-term goals.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
And it makes sense.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
Real quick, anybody who's listening to the replay, the chat had the link, but also it's the November 30th GLP-1 call where Corinne is talking to a client, and it's the first like 11 to 40 minutes of that November 30th GLP-1 call. We've addressed your thought that leads to crankiness. What is your new thought that at least neutralizes it a little bit?
I could just try to tell myself over and over again, I'm choosing this. This is a choice. I don't know how much that will resonate, like in the moment. I think I'm just trying to pin down something that will resonate a little bit more. I think maybe this is how I take care of myself might be a little bit better. I'm not 100% sure though.
Okay. Can I offer you some ideas?
Sure.
And these are just what work for me. You try on what works for you. So I have a couple of tools that I rely on. Number one is I don't have to like reality, but I don't have to argue with it either. So I use that when I would really like some fries and I know that will make the scale go up. I'm like, it's not fair. And I'm kind of pissed about it. I don't have to like it, but I don't have to argue with it either. And so then I could be like, this is like gravity. It's like a fact. Do I want to acknowledge I'm going to enjoy the fries in the moment and I'm going to accept the uptick on the scale tomorrow? Yes or no? So I'm not sitting in my dirty diaper of it's not fair. I'm like, this is how it is. Am I choosing it or not? Two other verbal tricks that can work great. One is the words even though. So even though fill in the blank allows you to acknowledge the sucky thought, but you don't have to stay there. For example, even though we're going out to Thai with my colleagues and I would really love the XYZ dish that would taste amazing, and I'm pissed that it would make my stomach flare up, I think I'm going to choose to have the more mild option so that tomorrow I feel okay.
Yeah, that's workable.
So, even though here's the thing that I'm pissed about, I will then move towards the thing that's slightly more neutral or slightly more choice oriented. So, first one, I don't have to like reality, but I don't have to argue with it. Second one is even though. The third one is my favorite phrase, well, one of my favorites, a well-placed but. The word but negates what comes before it. So, for example, I feel like it's super unfair that I can't have the delicious dish at the Thai restaurant without my stomach acting up. But I really want to feel good tomorrow and next month and next year and in 10 years. So 10 years from now, I'm probably not going to remember this dish, but I am going to remember feeling good with my stomach. So even though I'm pissed about it, I can have XYZ dish. So the word but negates what came in front of it.
I will probably put all three of those on my phone because
Nice.
I'll need to pull them out.
Okay.
I'll probably use them with chocolate as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we were going to talk about restrictive thoughts, and I think everything we've discussed really applies to those thoughts of restriction is another great Karenism is when you're in a committed relationship, you are effectively restricting yourself from hauling off and squeezing someone's rear end or being like, hey, cutie, you want to come home with me? Like, you choose that. Like, there is no law saying you can't, but you actively choose it for the benefit of the long-term relationship that you are in. And so you can think about like restriction is not a fact, it's a thought, it's a frame of mind. Same thing with choosing to avoid spicy foods, choosing to avoid chocolate, you can look at it as you can look at it as if I can't have these foods, or you can say I can have those foods any day of the week and I would get the results of them too.
Yeah.
I choose not to have those foods, even though they would taste great, because I don't want those outcomes. I'd rather have, I want the outcomes that these X, Y, these other foods will create for me.
Right. Yeah.
How you doing?
I think I'm doing okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm really glad that your stomach is feeling better than it was 2 weeks ago. It sounds like you worked yourself through the bit of a rock and a hard place of like, either I get stomach cancer or I get diabetes. Where are you with that, two not so great options thought?
I think I found the right mix of everything that I need to do. Just supplement timing and certain foods and everything. I think I've found the timing so that I just don't have that intense burning pain that only goes away with food
Okay.
all the time. It still comes up some of the time, but I can get it to calm back down without eating. So that's good news. And I still sometimes have cramping as well, but that it'll be sharp and then it'll go. So I'm still physically feeling it, but it's just not that literal physical burning
Okay.
inside my stomach.
Yeah.
And so getting past that part, and that was a physical, like I couldn't thought work my way through it. It was
Yeah.
physical.
Yeah.
So getting that figured out, I think the day that I realized, like the first evening that I went through the whole evening and I could control the burning pain, I was just in shock. Like I felt completely deflated somehow. I think because I'd just been looking for a solution for so long, and I just felt like I could relax because I'd found something that was working. Yeah, so that's how I'm feeling about that portion, like the looking at the stomach cancer or the diabetes. It's like, okay, if I work my way through this, I don't have to, be between those two options anymore.
Yeah, and I would encourage you that if you, hopefully not, but if you do ever find yourself in that thought loop again of like, it's either shitty option A or shitty option B, ask yourself, what else could be true? Where's door number three? And if you're like, I cannot see another option, write to us and ask coaches, write to me in support and be like, Lizzie, we talked on this call. I'm stuck in this thought loop. Can you help me through it? Absolutely, because there's always things that we didn't think of that like I can only see what feels true to me right now, whereas someone outside of your situation might be like, well, here are some other things that could also be true. Cool. Okay. Thank you so much. I'm so glad that you raised your hand. Thank you.
Thank you. I wasn't sure if I was going to, but I'm glad that I did. And
Me
yes,
too.
thank you very much.
Great. All right. Thank you. All right. Bye. All right. And so we had Tina a minute ago had her hand raised, but her hand is no longer raised. Y'all, I have no hands raised. We got 25 more minutes of this call. I do have a topic in my back pocket, but it's not going to last us 25 more minutes. So if by any chance you wanted to talk to Lizzie after dark, please raise your hand. We could talk about your nighttime eating. We could talk about your nighttime drinking, gummies. Heck, we could talk about emotional eating. We could talk about relationship things. There we go. See? There we go. All right. So we've got iPhone, and this is sort of like a Vanna White spin the wheel. Who could iPhone be? Let's roll the dice. Drum roll, please. Who is it? Who is iPhone tonight? We're still on the edges of our seats because iPhone, I need you to unmute and share your video, please.
I'm trying to figure out how to do that.
It's
It's
Audrey.
Audrey. Can you see me? Because I can't see me.
No, but I can ask you to start your video, but I can hear you. That's a win. And Susan is up next. So, Susan, don't put your hand down. Great. Hey, Audrey.
Okay, there we go. All you gotta say one time is nobody raised their hand. I had a rough day. Okay, this has nothing to do with any topic, I don't think. Other than I
Bring
think
it.
it's I guess what I'm wanting confirmation on is was this nervous system what I went through. So my son-in-law got hurt at work, damaged three fingers. I was teaching school the last week before, Christmas, just a lot of stuff. I could feel like my blood pressure, and I do take anxiety medicine when I need it. But this was like gonna kill somebody, PMS. Like over the top, and it just kept, I felt good. I kept feeling closed in, and like people around me, I just wanted away. So what I decided, what I did, well, I mean, I made it through the school day, but what I did when I got home, I was surprised because everyone was home, and I had in my mind I was going to have a monk meal, I was going to decompress, So anyway, everyone was home, which we all live here. And I got the crock pot going for dinner so that I wouldn't later be like, okay, well, I'm just ordering a pizza. So I got that going, got myself through that. Then I just went to the bedroom. Like, I don't know what else to do other than take deep breaths because I started eating, like, I don't know, some candy a kid gave me today, like peppermint bark or something. I was like, whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. You're not hungry. You just had your sandwich. You're fine. So I took I stepped away. I took a break. And then I had to help my daughter with emergency room car shuffle thing. And I just drove around, drove around, drove around. And I thought, what is wrong with me? And I thought, you know what? I think I'm just going to call up Kathy's new nervous system little page and just keep hitting all the videos while I'm driving. And,
Nice.
apparently, I've heard these before in other calls, but for some strange reason, it finally hit me. You are nowhere near. What happened was you were nowhere near home base, and you were trying to get back to home base. And
Okay.
that's a question. Does that sound like what I was going through?
Yes.
Connection. I tried to contact a couple of people. That didn't work. I was driving around in the sunshine. I got a cold drink. Like I did all these things, and I finally like calmed back down. I think I was more frustrated because I couldn't figure out what was going on. Like, what is wrong with my body? Am I a mental basket case? Do I need to go get a psychiatrist and take my anxiety medicine? Like, what's going on?
Yeah.
So does it sound like maybe that was just the perfect storm of several things and nervous system?
Yes, and there's an extra layer going on, which I
Okay.
am extremely personally familiar with, which is you're judging yourself.
Oh, yeah. How is it that every coach in OBS is able to call that out on me immediately?
We're really familiar with it. We do it to ourselves. Whenever you hear yourself ask the question, what is wrong with me? Your brain's never like the answer is never going to be, you're fine, Audrey. You're just doing the best you can. The answer is
Right.
going to be, you're fucked up. Clearly, you just are bonkers. So your brain is going to look for problems. And when you ask a question to your brain, it will look for an answer. But there are different kinds of questions. There's like, how could I figure this out? Your brain will look for an answer. There is, what is my problem? Your brain will look for an answer. So, and again, like I said, the way I can spot it is because I'm very familiar with it. I've done it to myself. I do it to myself. One thing that I have learned, it's been really helpful, is like 1% accepting that I don't have to know why this is happening. And I say 1% because my perfectionist fix-it brain
Right.
is like, What the F is going on? I want to fix it and I want to make it go away immediately.
And if I could label it, it'll be gone. Like,
I want to figure this out.
fever, take Tylenol. Yeah.
What's happening is your brain wants to solve a problem, but the like 99% of the rest of you, your body is like, hey, this is going on here. And your brain's like, why? Stop. Just stop. But your body is basically also communicating with like, we're having a response to something, and this is the manifestation of it. There have been many, many times, and Audrey, I am not even close to good at it. I won't even like use the P word, as in perfect. So I'm not even good at this, but I have gotten to the place of like, there are times where my body's going to have a reaction and I don't know why. And just be able to say,
Oh
something's going
well.
on.
Yeah, oh
I'm
well.
clearly out, off a of home base. I don't know why, but maybe I can kind of respect whatever's going on with my body and be like, there must be a reason. So let's just nurture ourselves here for a minute.
Okay. It sounds like that's what I did then. But I think this is the first time after being in Nobius for 2.5 years that I actually understood or maybe experienced the visual. Well, I had the feeling today and I saw Kathy's ladder and I was like, maybe that I didn't know that you could go above and body be danger and below and body feel danger. I just thought it was above, like high blood pressure kind of. I didn't realize it could be both. So I reached out for connection, wasn't able to get that. I mean, I did pray. That helped some. I didn't eat. Yay. I got a cold drink. I isolated myself and got in the sunshine. So it sounds like I may have. Does it sound like I did?
Audrey, you met yourself where you were at. You did what you could to get closer to home base. And our logical brains want to be like, I'm going to go check mark, check mark, check mark, and boom, I'm at home base. Thank you very much.
Right.
But our bodies might need a minute.
A day.
Or a day, yeah. Or for me, sometimes it's like a week and a half.
Right. Okay.
I will tell you, for me, where I've noticed this, fortunately it's not all that frequent, but there are definitely times like when I spoke on stage at camp, I was a little bit above home base, you might say. And I had been for like 3 months because I knew it was coming. And later that night, I was able to fall asleep, and around 1:30 in the morning, I woke up and my body was like shaking, like a dog, like wiggles its
Right.
fur and stuff. And like, fortunately, I have enough experience with this to know this is my body's physical response to like shake off the nervous energy. Like, I finally had this relief and release, and I was pretty sure it was going to take a little bit to go away. And so I just sat there for an hour and like let my body, do its wiggles. And it wasn't fun, but I was like, this is just what we need to sit through. It's okay, body, you do what you got to do. And like, I love you, I nurture you. Like, I listened to some meditations. Did it help me fall asleep? No, I was wide awake. But like, it was a process of like, I'm recognizing my body has a wisdom and it's got to have its own way of settling down that my
And
brain can't force it.
I can't really control how it reacts. I can only notice and call it. Okay. Yeah. That makes sense. And I think you were spot on. I think I was trying to figure out exactly what it was so I could fix it. And there's not really a fix for the unexpected. I mean,
So one of
it's if we had a fire drill today at school. That's not on my lesson plans. Like if we just surprise had a fire drill, that's not on my lesson plans. You can't plan for it. You just got to deal with Yeah.
So one of my favorite tools is kind of it's how to allow your feelings, and it applies to this too. Is, step one, just ask yourself, what am I feeling? And it's usually like a one-word answer: anxious, worried, frustrated, angry, whatever. And then the second step is so simple but so profound. It's just to say, I'm allowed to feel, fill in the word. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling this feeling. And that is really crucial because, like, again, I want to be like, why am I feeling this way? Let's fix it.
Right. I was overanalyzing it.
If you could just even say, like, I don't even have to know why I'm so worked up over this. I'm just worked up. This is where I'm at. I don't know why, but it's here. So I'm allowed to feel worked up. This feeling of anxiousness or whatever it is allowed to be here. I'm just gonna drive and allow myself to feel whatever I feel right now.
I see all these popping up people I know saying things, but I can't ever go back and read the chat until the replay comes out. 'Cause like when you take me down, the chat starts over on my phone for some reason.
Oh yeah. Well, before you go into not panelists, Christy is offering support and Lee is saying next time you have an issue like this, call her. They don't
Lee.
have limits to text or not to call.
That
That's
Lee.
the one. Yep. Starts with Greg and then lots of other letters.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can support yourself with just being like, I'm feeling this way. I don't have to know why. I don't have to fix it. I'm just feeling worked up. And also know that you've got your Nobius women who are here to be like, if you're worked up, call me, woman.
Yeah, I think in my mind, my choices were as coaches. Oh, that's 24 hours from now. Maybe 48. Ask like all my friends at church, I either teach them or I really don't want a Bible verse right now. I really just need to talk, like, and so that I think I was thinking local. I didn't even think about reaching out to accountability partners. That's crazy. I mean, that's
But
crazy.
also, like you can look, we can look and acknowledge that you were in a kind of heightened above home base state. And so, like, you literally had less blood flow to parts of your brain. And so, the creativity and like, how could I solve this problem creatively? You just didn't have access to that. So,
Okay.
it makes sense that you didn't think of accountability
So that
partners.
kind of the cognitive shutdown.
Bingo.
Okay. The emotions took over the cognitive or something like that. Quit trying to figure it out. Okay, thank you.
I would tweak that a little bit to be like, allow first, like release a little, and then you could be like, and why does this make sense?
Okay. So, sounds like tomorrow's journaling.
Okay. And by the way, if you'd like to send your journaling to Ask Coaches, please send it in.
Oh, I never thought about that.
Oh, and yeah.
Oh, you mean just type it? There's not a way to send a picture to Ask Coaches. You mean just like type it?
I do mean type it. There is not a way to send a picture to Ask Coaches, but if you want to send it to support,
Okay.
you can attach a picture to support and they'll
Okay.
send it to us coaches.
Okay. All
Lovely.
right. Thank
Thank you for
you.
raising your hand and talking to me.
And thanks to the whatever the comments were, I will see them when the replay comes out.
Yes. Jackie says, my heavens, you girls must have been telepathy. You're just matching the coaching word for word. You're awesome. Fantastic. All right. Well, thank you, Audrey. I'm glad you raised your hand, and I hope that the rest of the evening is, a little closer to home base.
Yes, I've been calm for a few hours now. I was just curious. Nobody's hand was up. I mean,
Cool.
we don't want to waste any time.
I appreciate it. Okay.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Okay. We got Susan. Coming on up. Love it. Love the chat too. Thanks everybody for your comments in the chat. I do see I have a Q&A. Don't let me close the call without getting back to the Q&A. So I will definitely answer that question, whatever it is. That worked.
Lizzie,
Oh
long
my gosh. Hello. Oh my gosh, I'm
time
so happy to see you. How you
no see. Hi.
doing?
Good. I did not intend to get on. I just got that email that you were having, and I said, oh, I want to see Lizzie. And
I'm
then I
so happy.
decided to raise my hand. So, and
Awesome.
it's perfect timing because
Of
I
course.
have a new issue.
Okay.
I'm trying to focus on one thing kind of long term, at least for a month, say, instead of kind of being scattered. So I decided I wanted to focus on enough. And so I have believed, I used to eat
to discomfort, and I started eating two or three years ago. Then I started eating to full, and then I got to what I thought of was enough, and that's where I've been for a year, year and a half. And it struck me that maybe I need to recalibrate my enough. And so for the last 2 days, I decided to write down everything, and then have like a real fine scale of how I felt afterwards, from using the -5 to 5, but I'm doing it to tenths, so that I was like, I want to really get on this. And then I realized, or yesterday and today, I ate a lot to what I think of as not enough, but it ended up it was enough. And I ate a lot less yesterday and today than I normally do. Like I felt when I stopped, I was like, this wasn't enough. But then, 3 hours later, I was, so I was correct, and my theory was correct. So I'm happy that I was correct and I have something to work on. But the reason I raised my hand is because I also feel really sad that in order to lose weight, it seems like I need to eat less. You know what I mean? That's, because I felt like I was doing great before, but I wasn't. I didn't lose any weight, and I didn't gain any weight, but I didn't lose any weight in 2025. So at any rate, I guess I'm just looking for ways to kind of process this sadness. I keep going back to, well, I used to overeat all the time, and I got rid of that, and I'm actually happy I don't overeat. So maybe I'll get there, but I don't quite believe that today. So.
Well, first, let's explore how, and first, I want to really super validate everything you said. I agree that recalibrating and just checking in what does enough feel like now in this body is something useful to do, possibly like once a quarter, certainly every, 10 pounds or so. Just be like, enough used to be this much food. Now that I'm in a different body or I'm a, different age, is it still that much? Addressing the sadness that like what used to be enough is now full, and a part of you misses or feels sad that in order to lose weight, you would need to eat to enough and not full. How did you adjust your thoughts, let's say 30 pounds ago, 20 pounds ago, that was what you used to think was eating to full was actually way overeating?
Well, I think the first one was I used to eat literally to discomfort most of the time. So going to eating to full was actually kind of pleasant. You know what I mean? Because I was no longer uncomfortable. And then I do remember that it was quite hard going from full to enough. I remember feeling you kind of feel like restless or not anchored when you feel like you didn't eat enough. And so, and then you have all the, probably like diet worries that, oh, if I don't eat more now, then I'm going to be hungry in an hour. But my work is such that I can eat in an hour if I am hungry. So that's kind of a false worry, but it's something that comes up a lot.
So I'm my brain kind of snagged on if I don't eat enough, I'll be hungry in an hour. When you feel hungry, what are your thoughts about that?
You mean if I feel physically hungry?
Like, is that good, bad, a problem, a happy thing?
I generally a happy thing. I do try to wait like 30 minutes from when I first start thinking I'm hungry. I try to wait 30 minutes to make sure I'm hungry, but I don't have a lot of negativity about it, but I suspect it's just that kind of the trigger from, from restricting for 30 years, where you were like, okay, if I don't eat this cookie right now, then I know I'm gonna not let myself eat it later.
1000%. I really want to validate that thought. And I also want to offer you the potential thought to, experiment with is like when I think of hunger as like a really good thing. It's a really good sign that if my stomach is growling, that means I ate to enough at my previous meal. My body used up the fuel I gave it and it's ready for more. I did it right. It's ready for more. This is good news. And of course, then I go eat. Or like, if I'm in the middle of a call, I can eat in the next 20 minutes to 40 minutes. So it's not restrictive. It's like, I nailed it. This is good. I'm ready to have
That's
more. So I think of hunger as like, I want that feeling. I don't want to stay in that feeling all day, but I want to have that feeling once a day, once every other day, once a week. Like, I want the feeling of hunger because it's a sign that I'm doing it right, quote unquote. Now, I'm talking about physical hunger. Emotional hunger, like, I definitely feel that every single day, no question. The problem is, it's not what my body needs. And so there are different ways to address that. So when you think about what is the amount of food that my body needs to feel physical hunger before the next meal, no, that's kind of an intellectual thing. I want to acknowledge the like the mourning, the grief of I used to have more and I got some kind of emotional satisfaction from that. So like, what do you think was that emotional satisfaction you got from eating more?
I've noticed lately that sometimes it's kind of nice to not have to worry about whether I'm hungry or not. You know what I mean? It's sort of like if you eat those extra three or four bites, just know that you are, don't need to eat anymore. And so it's almost like taking a weight off my mind of not having to, be walking the tightrope. Which is silly because I obviously do not have to be exactly on the tightrope. It's fine if I eat a bite or two over or a bite or two under, but I think I have this feeling of, I don't want to be obsessing over this, over whether I ate to enough or not, or,
So again, I want to validate obsessing over it is no fun. What I want to question is, why do you have to obsess over it? In other words, you eat what you eat, and your body will tell you when it's ready for more. And you don't have to worry about it until your body tells you.
I think of it as a something with a right answer, with a right or wrong answer, and so then I start getting hung up. But I'm actually getting, and I haven't with that thought, but I'm getting better with other thoughts at real time being like, okay, this is silly. This isn't something I need to be worrying about. This is not that important. I can, if I get hungry a half hour earlier, I can eat then. So I think I need to remember to say that in the moment.
And I want to delineate between there's the physical piece of this and the emotional piece of it. Physically speaking, you can be like, I'll eat XYZ amounts of bites. And I don't have to worry about it. My body will let me know when it needs more. I feel pretty confident about that. Like, it's really interested in surviving and it needs food to survive. So it will tell me when it wants more food. I don't have to worry about it until then. So, like, physically, you'd be like, I just wait. All good. The emotional piece is a little more challenging sometimes.
I think there's also another component to it that's sort of like, and I actually have had this poo-pooed by Corinne, so I know that it's not really helping me. It's this, man, I used to eat so much more, and now I'm eating so much less, and I still have to eat less. You know what I mean? That kind of, but I'm so much better.
Now, Susan, when we were coaching together, you told me that thought.
I know.
So it sounds like you are hanging on to it. Okay, I'm not disagreeing. Like, it's true. But is it serving you?
No, it is not serving me. Yeah, at the time Corinne said that was like a year ago. So yes, I am hanging on to that for some reason. It's not fair.
What would you tell a friend who, let's say had lost 50 pounds and she's like, but I'm eating so much less than I used to. What would you tell her?
I'm not sure I would tell her or not, but I think the logical thing would be you're smaller now and you need less food to than you used to.
And but she's like, but it's not fair.
Once again, I'm not sure I'd tell a friend, but I guess it depends on your goal. If you want to lose weight, it doesn't, fairness doesn't really come into it. I mean, it's more, is it serving you or not? Which is what you
Exactly.
started with. And yeah, you're right. That's what I think I need to just start responding with, okay, that's not really helping me.
As I said to Mercedes, like, you don't have to like reality, but you don't have to argue with it either. You know, you can be like, yes, I am eating less than I used to. And yes, part of me misses that. I don't have to argue with that. I don't have to like it, but it's what is. And if I want to continue to lose weight, I just got to be like, all right, this is what is. Do I want to choose to eat more? Or do I want to choose to eat less? Knowing that reality is a lot like gravity, you know, like here it is.
Yeah, I think I just need to get in the habit of reminding myself of that every time that thought comes up. And I also know that I'm going to get to the if I start eating less, I'm going to get to the point where that's fine. I'm comfortable with that.
And you're also probably going to have times where you eat to full and you're like, oh, I don't love my choices, but back to normal tomorrow. Like, you cannot love your choices and still like yourself. Although that was never really an issue for you. So for you, in terms of like, I'm eating so much less, I basically it's like, and
And that's what I needed to do to get to my current weight.
Cool. So, in terms of moving forward into 2026, what is a sh like give me one thing, either a thought or a habit that you want to aim to kind of let go of and move into 2026, leaving this thought or this habit behind?
Well, I think leaving that thought behind, since I've been struggling with it for so long, would be great. I mean, the habit I was trying to get into was the eating, recalibrating enough to a smaller amount, and I think that thought is the thought that's an obstacle for me. So I think they'll go hand in hand. If I work on that thought, I think the habit will be easier for me to do.
You know what could be an analogy for you, it with this thought of like I used to eat so much more, is and I know nothing about your past, so this may not resonate at all, but like you had that boyfriend or that relationship back in the day, and boy, was he cute, and he just lit your fire, and just there were some hot thoughts about that fella or person, the relationship. Now, in reality, there's a reason why that relationship didn't last. It was dysfunctional. You weren't a match, whatever. But like in your fantasy thoughts, you're like, oh my God, they were so cute. Those kinds of thoughts in your current life, in your current relationship, are not useful, not serving you. And so you can just be like, that was then. That was a previous version of me. God bless her. We are moving forward.
I will start questioning that thought when I have it. And I'll look forward to get to a new normal where.
Long-term weight loss is a series of new normals.
Okay. Well,
Cool.
I feel good. I feel motivated to start consistently questioning that thought.
Amazing. Susan, it is such a like early Christmas present to me to get to see you. Thank
Yeah,
you.
it's great to see you too.
And of course,
Very
please
exciting.
reach out to us and ask coaches if there's anything we can do to kind of help you as you're continuing to let go of those thoughts.
Okay, well, thank you, Lizzie.
Great. Thanks, Susan. Good to see you. Take
You
care.
too.
Fantastic. Oh my gosh, what fun we've been having. All right. In the Q&A, Sue asked Lizzie, what were the three questions to ask yourself? I was talking to Audrey. They were maybe thoughts. Dang it. I'm gonna go back to the chat. What were we talking about? So Audrey was having a day. It was like, what am I feeling? I don't have to fix it. Sugar. Okay, so usually it's like, what am I feeling? It's a word. Thought, so anxious, worried, etc. Then the next thing is, I'm allowed to feel this way. I don't have to fix it. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling this way. I'm allowed to feel it. This feeling is allowed to be here. Sue, if you can elaborate as to what exactly I was talking about at the time, if I didn't quite answer your question, please go ahead and type that back into the Q&A to give me a little bit more context so I can remember what I was talking about 20 minutes ago, because, short-term memory. All right. Then we've got Tina says, sorry about putting my hand down. No worries. Had to get the door. That is a little more urgent. I get it. Anyway, the question was, how long does it take for a habit, nighttime eating, to change? I've been trying to avoid eating while watching TV at night after dinner. I'm not hungry, but the food thoughts to keep eating race around in my brain. I guess I'm white knuckling it for the moment. I did try to add a small snack, but that didn't work. Oh, good question. How long does it take for the habit to change? To be perfectly honest, it depends on the person. It depends on how many reps, like mental reps, you put in. But the deeper question is, how do you accelerate that change? So, Tina, I would encourage you to ask yourself, what does eating at night while watching TV help you feel or not feel? And what would be different if you just watched TV without food? So, like, imagine yourself, if I just watched TV without food, what would I have to feel? That will tell you what the food is doing for you. And once you get a little bit more clear on, like, this is the need that the food is meeting for me, whether it's comfort, it's helping me avoid loneliness, it's helping me avoid boredom. When you can address, this is what it's doing for me, then you're like, okay, now I see where the challenge is. It makes sense why it's hard for me to let it go. Now, how can I meet that need in different ways? So, like, if it's, let's say it's boredom. Boredom, I used to think boredom was a stupid reason to eat until I learned that boredom and physical pain lit are like next door neighbors in the brain. And I was like, oh, human brains really don't like feeling bored. So it makes sense that, if boredom is an issue, that could be a reason why you're eating. Happily, there are lots of ways to address boredom. If you're feeling lonely, okay, let's address that. That's a little bit more complicated, a little bit more nuanced to address how do we solve the feeling of loneliness, but at least you know what you're addressing. If it's comfort, okay, great. What else could help you feel comforted? Just cozy. I'd love me a nice cozy sweatshirt. You better believe as soon as we got this call, jumping into that sweatshirt to cozy up. What are some things that could help you feel comforted that don't necessarily involve food? Think of it like your brain has a toolbox that's like big label. This is how to feel better. And you open up the toolbox and there's one tool in there, food. I don't want you to remove food and be like, okay, we have no tools to feel better. We just got to feel shitty. That's not what we're asking. I want you to add more tools into your toolbox. So food is one of your tools, but you also could go to some other tools as well. And Tina, I would love for you to write in to ask coaches because that's a little bit more specific. I'm asking you, like, what's the need that the food is meeting? And so we can address that together and ask coaches. Okay, Anonymous says, "Tis the season and I want to drink alcohol more than usual. Any helpful thoughts?" Probably lots. So why do you want to drink alcohol more than usual? Is it just the parties? Is it social anxiety? Is it avoiding grief from, missing special people who are not here in your world or your environment these days? Like, anything is okay. Similar to Tina, why? What is the driver to wanting to drink more alcohol? And any answer is okay. It could simply be like environment really matters. There are people and places where I am much more tempted to drink than others. And it's because my brain is like, oh, we know this replay. This is what we do when we're with these people, or this is what we do when we're at this place. Your brain is always looking for patterns. So it doesn't have to be super deep. So I would encourage you, same thing, Anonymous, to like write in to ask coaches and help us help you figure out what are the sort of environmental or perhaps even seasonal triggers that are amping up that desire, and we can help you see it and then help you make a plan for how to address it if you want to. Again, it's always a choice. All right. Oh, Jackie loved the replay of the old boyfriend. So fun, right? Okay, everyone. Such a good call today. I think I got all the ask coaches. Yeah, or not ask coaches, Q&A. I so appreciate you being here tonight. Happy holidays. Happy after dark moments. Like I said, we're gonna have to lower the octave a little bit. Y'all have a lovely, smooth evening tonight. I can't do that. I can't do that voice. Like it's too serious. I gotta laugh it up. All right, everybody, have a great evening. Thank you for joining me for the nighttime eating call, and have a wonderful holiday if I don't see you before then. All right, bye.